You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, do we have a deep dive here for you today on the National Day of Car Prayer. Just putting in another pitch for the National Day of Car Prayer, since I'm a Christian car guy. But anyway, we do have a deep dive for you today on Kingdom Pursuits. Here we have Pastor Bill Fowler in Spokane, Washington. He's with the Modern Day House Church Movement. So like I said, we're going deep today, and I'm looking forward to hear this. Pastor, welcome to Kingdom Pursuits.
Thank you for having me, Robbie. Pleasure to be here.
And I read in your bio, I'm so sorry you lost your wife in January.
Yes, I did. She passed away January the 7th. We'd been married 44 years, and she was everything to me in the ministry. We functioned in ministry together, so it's been a big change since that time. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to hear how God has come for you in that. I lost my father just a few weeks ago, and there's a lot of going on there is all I can say. I can't even imagine losing my wife or one of my children. I have friends that have gone through that. So, but the house church movement, how did you end up getting involved in that?
Well, when I became a Christian, I was actually a hippie in the hippie movement at that time, and a backslidden Christian. I was sitting out on the front lawn of a guy's house in Portland, Oregon, and I was talking about kind of New Age stuff, levels of awareness and cosmic consciousness and all this. And this one guy just looked at me, and he was just real uncomfortable, and he says, "Don't use me for an example, but you're deceived. You need Jesus Christ in your heart." And it hit me with such force and such power that he and I went to the park, and I asked him so many questions and everything, and fell on my face in a park and just repented of my sins. And he said, "Now you need to find a place to get connected in." Well, back in 1973, long-haired hippies were not exactly on the top of the welcome list with most conventional churches. And I wound up going to this ministry called Shiloh Ministries. And it was Shiloh Youth Revivals. John Higgins started it. I think he started it in 1968, 70, 69, something like that. But since that time, it was the largest Jesus people communal movement in the United States in the 1970s. And he started with one house in Costa Mesa, California. And according to some estimates in Wikipedia and other places, there were over 100,000 young people involved in 175 communal houses established during its lifetime. So it was no small thing. And I met John in 1973 when I was part of the Shiloh home. And it was very, very clean, very disciplined. The men stayed in one house and the women stayed in another, but it was very evangelistic as well. Our mission was not to just sit around and have Bible study after Bible study, but as soon as we were strong enough and, you know, equipped enough, we went out, rented another house, and focused on evangelism and working and bringing a good testimony to Jesus Christ.
Wow. I mean, wow. I'm so I really am excited to hear. I mean, just keep your place right there, because we're going to get back to that in a minute, because I definitely want to hear where that went, because I had no idea about that. And interestingly, just to share where I was at the same time, because in 19, 73 happened to be your, I graduated from high school, and I got into the Church of Scientology and ended up in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm with you, but I'm not with you, because I didn't know about the other part. I actually came to Christ in the East when I was in my 30s, rather than, you were lucky enough to do it when you were younger. But anyway, I got to get to my riddle, because that's part of Kingdom Pursuit. So, and we're talking about house churches today. So speaking of house, you know, seeing the house and the lifestyle of the pharmacy owners, friends and relatives have accused him of, and doctors have the same issue, of ill-gotten wealth. Have you ever thought about that, Jasper? Ill-gotten. And you may be asking yourself, or you may not be. I found one on my wife's purse the other day. Where do you use a skeleton key? Well, if you happen to have a haunted house, it's the perfect place, right, to use a skeleton key. And, you know, it's okay to laugh, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little dumbfounded.
That's all right. This is part of being on Kingdom Pursuits, is you have to hear Robbie's jokes, and it's always good if you laugh, because otherwise I feel very intimidated. You're the only guest I have. Normally I have three people sitting in the studio, and they can at least act like they're smiling or something when I do this.
Let me hit the laugh button over here. I've got that somewhere, you know.
So, a band of teenagers cruised past my neighbor's house and pelted it with rotten tomatoes, Jasper. It was unbelievable. Right by their house, that's the word for today. The police described it as a drive-by fruiting. There, we got a little chuckle out of him. So that at the end of all the shenanigans, I would actually have a riddle that you can call in and win today. And I apologize I didn't do this last week, because I was in Georgia and I got overwhelmed and all that I had going on. But I'm back this week with my riddle. So here's the riddle that you can call in and win. Which church in the Bible never had a steeplechase? Oh, because they met in houses. Which church in the Bible, where would you find that in the Bible, by the way, never had a steeplechase because they met in houses? If you know the answer to that, you can call in at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And if they can guess that, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win two tickets to a Winston-Salem Dash game this Friday, May 10th.
Friday, May 10th, you'll be dashing, not through the snow, but nonetheless dashing over to the Dash game. All you have to do is call us at 866-348-7884 and answer this question. Which churches in the Bible never had a steeplechase? Because they met in houses. 866-348-7884. Come on, guys. I know you can get that one. Now, when we left our hero Bill, he was at these communal houses. And when you use the word communal, Bill, immediately all our minds go, I mean, those of us who lived in the 70s, we're not thinking one house with the men and the women. You know, that's the way that, I don't know if you've ever been to North Carolina, but interestingly, you know, we had all the people that had the Salem houses, and I'm trying to think, Moravians. The Moravian church had their communal houses. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been here?
I've been to the Moravian type of ministry.
Right, but we have the, you know, Old Salem was founded like, you know, I don't know, 16-something.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the part of the Salem, Winston-Salem. Now, they weren't smoking cigarettes back then, and they weren't menthol. But or maybe they were, but anyway, they had what they called choirs. And they had a men's choir and a women's choir, and they were like that. They had, you know, that there was a communal thing, but fascinatingly, you know, the kids were not brought up in their homes. When they had children, after they got married, they would be allowed to go live in a house by themselves. Hmm. But the children were immediately assigned to one of the choirs.
Wow. I didn't know that.
But I got to find out about your communal housing. When we come back, we already have the Riddlers are lining up, but you still got time to get in and win these Dash tickets. 866-348-7884. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're finding out about house churches with Pastor Bill Fowler in Spokane, Washington, the modern-day house church movement and church without walls. But speaking of houses, we got Sean is in Winston-Salem. He has an answer for us, I hope. Sean, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am wonderful. Do you know
which my church? My guess is the house churches that are described in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 40.
Wow, you have it down to the verse. That's good. You're absolutely right. They didn't have any steeplechases, but boy, they sure had the Holy Spirit, and they sure impacted their communities and their culture, didn't they?
Absolutely.
What I'm wondering, Sean, what about that strikes you?
Yeah, well, you know, they were agreeing with the apostles' teaching was one of the things. And, of course, you know, we're doing that in our own. Usually the small group movement is the closest thing because they're meeting in houses oftentimes, agreeing with the pastor's teaching from the pulpit, carrying on that conversation and doing life application from the sermon.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And being part of a community means so much because, I I was a little disturbed by how many cancer commercials there were in the break, but, you know, having been diagnosed with cancer, it was the moment where, wow, you know, having that community come around you and pray for you. And short story was, right after I finished my last chemotherapy treatment, I was crushed between two cars in Nashville, North Carolina. And I was transported overnight to Baptist Hospital. And I got there about 3 a.m. and my Sunday school class at the time, I don't know, might have been 80 or 90 in it, but about 30 of them that were there at Baptist Hospital that night at whatever time my wife got there, two or three in the morning. And I remember as they were pulling me into the emergency room on the stretcher and all these people were standing there praying for me, that the girl that was wheeling me, or, you know, whatever her position was there, she said, wow, I'll bet you go to that Calvary Baptist Church, because when you guys show up, man, they bring a crowd. And what a commendation, you know, that is for the church.
Absolutely.
And I'll bet you in your community, were something like that to happen to you, they would show up too, wouldn't they?
I would agree. I think so.
I know they would. I know they would. God bless you, Sean. Thank you for listening. I'm so grateful you called in and you won, and I hope you enjoy dashing out to see the Dash on Friday. God bless.
Awesome. Thanks so much. You too.
Bye-bye. Well, getting back to Bill, and I don't want to lose the place where we were. You had these communal houses. You were living in those at that point in time in 1973, unless you want to comment about, you know, what Shane, Sean, don't let me stop you.
Well, I'd like to go back to the communal house because it gives a real wrong connotation that we were a bunch of hippies converted to Christ, sitting around, bathed very seldom, and said, you know, things
I picture
like
flower
that.
Children, and you know, if exactly. You're coming to San Francisco,
what we actually were a highly organized, hard-working group of young people who were just absolutely in love with Jesus. In the Word, Weyerhaeuser, Evergreen Helicopter crew, they used to call us because we were the best workers they could get in all of Oregon.
Really?
And so, you know, and our mode of travel was get out on the highway and hitchhike up to wherever they needed 5 Shiloh boys or men, and our the women, you know, they did a lot of things, but we eventually developed our own cannery. We had our own architects. We weren't just a bunch of people that didn't have any desire to build and to really integrate into the society around us. Very developed, and so that was
what you're
the
describing is really a lot closer to what was described in Acts of a communal living situation, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and it wasn't like you couldn't come and go. You know, nobody was holding a gun to your head. But the thing is, for a lot of us, for people like myself, I don't think I would have gotten very grounded in a conventional church, because you meet maybe on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday, but most people today, they meet one time a week. They go to church one time a week. Well, we had church 7 days a week. When we picked apples in Malott, Washington, we were called up there. When we worked for Weyerhaeuser or spreading fertilizer or planting trees, they always wanted us, and we felt like we were evangelizing from the moment we showed up. We outworked everybody. We felt like that was a testimony, and there was a tremendous joy in that, too. Now, those brothers were just, well, you had to be committed to be in Shiloh. If you were just wanting to kind of dabble with Jesus, you know, a little bit, that was not the place, because we didn't just sit around. We were working 5 days a week, and then on Saturdays we went and evangelized on the streets, and then Sundays we went to conventional churches and really good churches. And again, we weren't sectarian either. We weren't like us four and no more kind of deal.
Wow. How many people were there in Shiloh at the time?
Well, there were probably a couple of thousand by the time I arrived.
Really?
But this eventually, and I don't mean just in the Eugene area, because I went from, when I was saved in Portland, I traveled down to Eugene, Oregon, and we were just across from the University of Oregon. I can't remember the name of the street, but there was a beautiful three-story house, and I think we had about 20 brothers in there. And I tell you, something about living together and working together and praying together and all of that is you get on each other's last nerve, too. So you get to do some growing up. You don't just get to theorize about brotherly love.
And how old were you when this was going on?
I was, let's see, I was 21, I believe, 21 or 22. Let's see, how old was I? 21. I was 21 at the time.
And yeah. How long did that last for you?
I stayed in Shiloh 8 months, and then I wanted to go start a, I know it's off the wall, but I wanted to go start a Jesus Rock and Roll band in Texas. That's really my home state. And so I was passing through Tucson, Arizona, and some brothers in the Lord picked me up and told me about this ministry with this wonderful church out there. It's still there, called Grace Chapel.
Yeah.
In Tucson, Arizona. And so I went there and got tied into that ministry, and that's where I met Joanne. And we were in a Hebrews class together. I started going to that church. And that church was just growing exponentially from week to week.
Slow down a minute. I'm trying to figure this out. You're on your way to Texas.
To start a Jesus rock and roll band,
right? And how, the bus stop in Tucson, or what happened?
No, I was hitchhiking.
Oh, you were hitchhiking.
Oh, I didn't have a car. Man, that's, you know. I was so used to hitchhiking that it was nothing, but I took it as an adventure. I got to share Jesus with tons of people,
So God took you on a detour to meet your wife there in Tucson.
And when I met her, it knocked my lights out, and of course, I didn't come out of a Christian home. She didn't come out of a Christian home. She came out of a Jehovah's Witness.
Wow.
And she never bought into it. She just couldn't accept it. And so she was kind of ostracized. And then she came to Christ when she was going to, I believe, the University of Arizona. And then, of course, my family just thought I was Looney Tunes. And, you know, who knows what he's into next when I called him and told him, you know, I became a Christian, you know. They didn't realize for the first time in my life I was actually starting to turn into a sane person. you know. But anyway, I met Joanne in a Hebrews class that was held in this wonderful church called Grace Chapel.
So just, and, I hate to claim ignorance, but what's a Hebrews class? Are you learning the language of Hebrew, or?
I'm sorry, on the book of Hebrews.
Oh, on the book of Hebrews, okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I don't know Hebrew or Greek. It's all Greek to me, so, but no, it was a wonderful study on the book of Hebrews, and I had seen her at, in the big chapel service, and I think there were probably 600 or 700 people at that time coming. I mean, we were adding probably 100 people, and they were mostly, you know, hippies that had turned to Christ. And Jesus, you know, they became Jesus freaks. And so this place was just exploding with growth. And by the way, what's interesting about this is a lot of those people who were converted to Christ and went through these kind of seasons are in the ministry today. So it wasn't kind of a thing that just...
It's a hit and go, yeah.
You know, the lasting fruit is the testimony of itself.
It is. Wow. You can tell. We're loaded for bear today on Kingdom Pursuits. Our hero's still on detour in Tucson. I can hardly wait to figure out where it's going from here. So stay tuned. We got so much more coming on Kingdom Pursuits. Of course, if you have a question that I haven't thought to ask, you could call us at 866-348-7884. So much more coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And I'm sure if you've been listening thus far, you would know that God's given Pastor Bill Fowler in Spokane, Washington, a passion for the house church and the church without walls, which he's been a pastor of for a number of years here. He and his wife, who passed away in January. Pastor Bill, I'm sure like everybody else, they're wondering, how in the world do you get from Tucson to starting your own church and the things that you and your wife accomplished in Christ? It helps if I put you on so that people can hear you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I say that's a great question. It's something I've asked myself. How did this all unfold, you know? But my hometown is Tyler, Texas. And after my wife and I got married November 9th, 1974, the economy kind of fell through in Tucson. It wasn't a real robust economy to begin with. And so we loaded up our little car, our little Renault, and headed to Tyler, Texas, back to my hometown.
Well, it's the Christian car guy. I have to correct you. It's Renault.
You know, I knew you were going to say that. I knew somebody was going to correct me. But, you know, I'm just an old Texas boy. I you know, if it's got a T on the end, I'm going to stick a T on it.
My wife would be right. Actually, my wife is from Maybank, Texas, which is not far at all from Tyler.
Oh, I know exactly where Maybank is. Oh, yeah.
She lived off of Lake Maybank. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
So I'm with you. My wife would say Renault in the heartbeat, as well as, you know, salmon. She eats salmon, and
yeah,
she
yeah.
washes her clothes, you know, but not, oh, if yeah. she heard me right now, she'd probably be dying.
You may not be able to come home today, but I'll pray for you, brother.
Thank you. So you went to Tyler. Anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, we went to Tyler, and we got connected into a fantastic church that became my home church for many years, and I can still consider it my home church. My pastor, Pastor James Walker, founded that church, and it just grew and grew, and it was all about training up ministry and sending it out. We wanted the church to grow horizontal. Now, this was a non-denominational church. It's still there, but it was just a handful of people meeting at Bell's Baptist Church in between their services every Sunday at 2 o'clock when Joanne and I arrived.
Wow.
And I went, and we spent, we spent 10 years there, and I was trained in ministry, and then I was ordained. We were there from January of 75 till we were sent out in October, I think, of 1984. Yeah. And I was ordained into the ministry in 1981. I became the first associate pastor there. And then, but I had a passion to go out and plant churches. Didn't know anyone, so we were sent out by the church and worked under authority, as we always do and still do to this day. And by the way, my pastor is still with us, and so I talk to him pretty frequently, and so we're still connected, and we have a lot of pastor and elder-type friends there in the East Texas area that I'm accountable to. But anyway, we went out and we started a church, and we didn't know anybody, not a soul, in Corsicana, Texas. And then we pastored that church until 1991. We went to Waco, Texas, and that was kind of a transition time. And then we moved to Temple, Texas, started another church, pastored that for several years. And then we came back to Tyler and started another church, pastored that for a while, and I just felt like in 2002 it was time to, I told my wife, I said, you know, we're going to be in a transition period. I can't even tell you how long, but I just know that we're done with planting churches in Texas. And so we moved to South Georgia.
Really?
My son-in-law and my oldest daughter live in Valdosta, Georgia, got deep roots there. Connected in with a wonderful church called New Covenant there in Valdosta, Georgia. And then I just started traveling and ministering in different churches back in Texas and in Georgia and various places. And a friend of mine that I had met who was a businessman when I met him in Tyler when I was an associate pastor, he had started a church in Spokane, Washington. Well, this thing grew, and it was like over 1,000 people. But he wanted someone to come up and establish a good men's ministry. And so that's in my wheelhouse. I mean, I have a real desire to see men trained and learn how to stand together and stand on their own two feet and that sort of thing in the spirit. And so I had been telling my wife, I said, for the last 6 months, everywhere I went, I said, we're going to be going somewhere, and it's going to be a place where we're going to be anchored in for a good while. And so sure enough, I get this call, and I'd already been up here to do a leadership conference, not a conference, but a retreat, and for his church. And we were dear friends. We still are. And so he called me up and for another leadership retreat, and we just visited for a while, and he said, would you come up here, and I know you're church planning, but, you know, just work with the church for a year or two. And I said, okay. So we came up here in 2006. I worked a year there, and then I went back to planning churches. And we started a conventional church, and we called it Fountain Gate Christian Fellowship. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord just laid it on my heart, I want you to convert this to house church. At least I felt impressed that that was what I was supposed to do. I felt very strongly. In fact, I woke up dreaming about this, and I had the name and everything, Church Without Walls. So the rest is history, so to speak.
Yeah. So what is the Church Without Walls?
Well, it's a house church network. You know, it was interesting because after I had this dream and after I had this vision, I told the church, and of course, that, you know, you can imagine if your pastor came to the pulpit on Sunday morning and said, hey, guess what? We're going to disband and go strictly with a network of house churches. You know, so not everybody's going to go yippee because we're accustomed to what we're accustomed to here in the West, even though it's biblical and even though it's predominantly the model that's used throughout the world, especially in the persecuted countries of the world. But anyway, most of them just were very supportive, stayed right with it, and they have stayed right with it, and we love it. It's just wonderful. But then Joanne got sick, and so I had met this guy that worked for Comcast.
Before we go there, Bill, I hate to interrupt, but I'm just curious because in my mind, what does that look like to be? What's the difference between being a house church and a conventional church in the way that you meet and the way that you live your lives together in a community? I mean, could you describe that for those of like me who really don't have a concept of what you're talking about?
Well, the brother that called in earlier, you know, he said, you know, we call them life groups, and you know, we take the pastor's message, and we've done that before too. We did that in Tyler at Tyler Christian Fellowship.
Got another break coming up. Just when I had the question out, so we'll give you the break to figure out your answer to that. Because we come back, it's the shortest segment of the bunch. We just have about 4 or 5 minutes to wrap it up. But I know that we're all very, very interested in where that headed and what our next place of learning would be on that. So stay tuned. We got so much more coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion, uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have with us Pastor Bill Fowler. He is in Spokane, Washington, with the modern-day house church movement. So when we interrupted you with the break, Bill, you were explaining practically what does that feel like to be a member of this house church, the Church Without Walls? Once again, I have to press a button because I have a new producer that puts people on hold.
are we good?
We're good. You're back.
We're good to go. Okay. What it looks like is a typical house church meeting for us. And by the way, we have two house church meetings here with two different house church groups during the week here at my house. When my wife was sick, we did home hospice, and so it was wonderful because, you know, sometimes she was so ill, there's no way she could have gotten in a car and driven to a building somewhere to be in church.
Oh, yeah.
And yet everybody just loved on her and loved her so much, and she could come in a house coat. It did not matter. In fact, that's just the way it is, and we're not so laid back that we don't treat it like the house of God, but at the same time, there's a flexibility, there's mobility, there's intimacy in a house church that you just simply can't achieve in a conventional church. I pastored both for years. I pastored conventional churches much longer than I've pastored house churches, but the way this started, other than just getting the idea from the Lord, I felt, is that I had asked this fellow to come over and hook up our internet and Comcast and all that. And so his name was, well, never mind. I don't want to throw his name out there right now.
That's
but
okay.
Anyway, he came over and he was hooking everything up, and we were just talking and enjoying everything. And after 2 hours of just, we were both talkers. And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he just said, no kidding. I wouldn't have ever guessed. I don't know how to take that. But anyway, I said, yeah. And he said, well, where do you pastor? And I said, well, actually, we're starting a house church network called Church Without Walls. He said, I'm in, just like that. Now, I've had people say things out of excitement before that, you know, didn't last till the water got hot. But Joel is still with us, and he's one of my right-hand people. The idea behind these house churches is to train and equip young people, young leaders who are ready to step in. And, you know, when I'm gone, they shouldn't miss a beat. And there's a strength in that. The idea is to grow horizontal, not vertical for us. We want to go out. We want to spread out. But and we were in the process of doing that when Joanne got sick. And so we're going to get back to trying to start some more house churches in the area. But we're also very connected in with churches here in the area. I've got a number of pastors that I meet with. I support their work because, for me, the ministry of Christ in the body of Christ is not an either-or. It's not either all conventional or all house church. It's whatever helps us equip the saints for the work of the ministry and whatever helps us fulfill the Great Commission. And for us, this is my wheelhouse. I'm not a mega church pastor. I never will be. Don't even aspire to be.
So how would you have our listeners respond? Do you have a website if they have an interest in this, or is there a book, or where would they go?
Well, they can contact me on Facebook. We can become friends on Facebook, just Bill Fowler in Spokane, Washington, or they can go to Church Without Walls Facebook page in Spokane. We had a very nice website and all that, but frankly, it was work intensive, it was expensive, and it was laborious. I just, you know, after a while, we just went, you know, we don't need it. So we're just kind of low-key, but would be happy to talk to them. They can call me on the phone here. I can give my number if that's okay.
It is absolutely okay. I would love for you to.
Okay. It's area code 509-443-4060. And if they're interested in starting a house church in their area, of course, if they're in a if they're already in a church, we're asking them to stay committed in their church. We're not trying to proselytize or, you know, pull people out of churches. We're not trying to do that at all. But if they are kind of out there just without a place to connect in, and they have a group of people that just want to get into the Word, it's very Word-centric. The study of the Bible and praying together is central to our house church.
That is so awesome, Bill. God bless you. Our prayers are with you and your movement out there, and what a connection. So glad I got to talk to you today. And for you listening, thank you. We are so grateful. Yes. 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 Thank you, Bill. And for you listening, it's such a blessing that you would spend time with us today. We appreciate you listening to the Truth Network. You got so much truth coming at you. You got encouraging prayer followed by Masculine Journey Radio. Starts here now at 12 o'clock. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Thanks again.